live, local, and letting you have your say. The Dan McDonald Show on AM 800.
Well, hey, good morning and welcome back. It's Dan McDonald. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to the Dan McDonald Show on AM 800 CKLW. Want to welcome our roundtable guest this morning, someone it's been far too long, author Vanessa Shields in studio. Vanessa, good to see you, and representing some WIF with that toque as well.
Good morning.
Great to have you in. As always, great to have you back in studio.
Thank you.
No stranger to the show. Lucy from BANA, Luciana Rosu Saeza from BANA Bulimia Anorexia Nervosa Association. Lucy, good morning.
Good morning. Lucy from BANA is great.
Lucy from BANA, yes.
I hear my title. Lucy
yes.
from BANA. Thanks, Dan.
Lucy
great to
from
be here.
Great to always have you in. Last but not least, I feel like he was just on the show because he was. Counselor for Ward 3, Ronaldo Agostino. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be back. I think I slept here.
Yeah, I think you did. Yeah, you got a little, you got your own room, a little plaque with your microphone here. But yeah, you a busy weekend for downtown. And that's where I wanted to start too. I know you were just on the show when they announced this Tuesday morning at 10. I think you were here right after the press conference, and that was great just to kind of break it down. But it's been a hot topic, a good, important topic to talk about. A new revitalization plan that's been unveiled for downtown Windsor. Windsor Mayor Drew Dilkin, City Council, working with City Administration and the Windsor Police Services, unveiled the new Strengthen the Core Downtown Windsor Revitalization Plan. And the question that I asked, in fact, we've been doing this every single day, this topic. I want to hear from people, and I've been doing some open line talk just saying, okay, the perception, as I understand it, is that a lot of people do not feel safe. That's perception. But perception is what's going to prevent people from coming down, even if it is statistically safe. I've never felt unsafe downtown. I'm there every day. But the perception, that it's a real thing. So what would make you feel safer downtown? And why do you feel safe or unsafe? What is it that makes you feel safe or unsafe? I guess just an open kind of table about the plan. And Vanessa, do you go downtown? You're representing some WIF
I
right
do.
Now,
yeah,
I see.
I've got my WIF hat on for some descriptive visualization.
I love
WIF.
It.
The stripey one with the ball on top. Anyway,
yes.
So yeah, I don't feel unsafe when I'm downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, when we go downtown, it is driven by an event or like there's a reason that we're going. So we are going to support a local event or a local venue or both at the same time, like going to see a show out with.
Sure.
And I think for us, the feeling, the emotions that we have when we're down there is more a kind of sadness and shock. Like, so when we went to see a show last week, the grocery store that was across from the Capitol.
Laverne's.
Yes, closed.
Yeah, I was a bit sad
now,
to see that.
Obviously, I'm showing the last time that I've been down there, obviously. I don't know when it was closed, but I was shocked to see that it was closed.
Right.
And then the conversation was just like dropped heads and sadness that, oh, another business. You know, I wonder what happened. Obviously, it wasn't great that it's closed down. Specifically for that, I was so excited that there was like a fresh produce place down there because as someone who likes to go hang out down there, you can only stay at the one or two cafes that are down there long. You don't want to steal the spot all day and whatever.
Yeah, totally.
So it'd be great to go to buy like fresh food, get a fresh sandwich or have lunch with like get the lunch and go to the river.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, our experience really isn't wrapped around fear necessarily, but kind of just always shocked at the how it looks and the lack of ability for businesses to continue to stay open, which I'm sure the reasons for that are many and hopefully being acknowledged through this huge plan.
And there's probably so many variables there too. I mean, you see one of the most unlikely survivors, and it survived not just anything going on downtown, but it survived a bunch of changes in the industry, is the little engine that could, Dr. Disc. They've been there before music was online, then online came and everyone said, we're done with all of this. And, you know, you thought music stores were closing, even the one in the mall closed down for a bit. HMV shut down, all these stores shut down, Sam the Record Man, and somehow Dr. Disc survived, and they're doing better than ever. So there's so many variables to what I think, you know, business survival, I think. And I always wonder what that is. But do you feel safe for the most part? Like, how do you feel as far as safety goes downtown perception?
Yes. But I mean, I in my teens, too early to be going into the bars, but going into the bars and hanging out downtown as a kid, like we weren't, I walked home like from, you know, all the way down University and Wynot from downtown at 2 in the morning, like every weekend you go to the Loop, you dance, then you walk home.
Right.
That's just what we did. And I think one time a car kind of followed beside me, but it was way past downtown. It was like on the west side and nothing happened. Thank goodness. But no, it wasn't fear. It was just, you know, this is our city. This is our town. You go out, you enjoy your time. And then, I don't know, maybe it was naivete and innocence, but even then and now I don't feel afraid. I've seen some very scary things downtown, especially post bar, like when the bars close. But also in those cases, the police were there, or just good humans were there stopping the fight
that was
paying
always
attention.
Safety in numbers,
So, I mean, there's hope always. There's always good, usually good people at least to try and stop or call for help. But certainly, bad. It is a place where bad stuff can happen and does happen. And
Lucy, how do you feel about downtown? Are you a downtownie?
Yeah, I'm definitely a downtownie. So I work down the street. So we work at 1500 Olette.
Right.
And so I definitely venture downtown. I often walk at the river. I'm a big walker and I love to walk from the bridge downtown. Mm. Both my parents passed away in the past 2 years. So we have a memorial bench actually right by the casino. So we often go. Oh, wow. I bring the kids. We go to the coffee exchange. I mean, I brought my kids downtown. I've always been a downtown girl. I was just saying I went to elementary school downtown. I actually went to school with Vanessa too in high school and university.
Downtown reunion going on here.
Lots of downtown folks here today. So definitely don't feel unsafe. I will say the mental health and addiction component has risen tremendously. I especially see that post-COVID. But I do love the revitalization plan. I think our potential for downtown is extraordinary.
Yes.
I think we have one of the most beautiful riverfronts that I've seen personally.
Me too.
And I think leveraging that as well as Detroit and Michigan being across the border. But I think we have amazing people downtown. I think we have amazing people in our community that want to see downtown revitalize. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I see Ronaldo. Like, I mean, I just see all kinds of things happening. But I think it's a collaboration.
It has to be
a community effort.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a couple of champions. I think it has to come from every angle. So
from
my line of work, I see the mental health and addiction piece being firsthand. I see that we do need more funding for severe mental health and addiction services, community services. I love the police and nursing initiative from you know, Windsor Regional Hospital and the police. I mean, we have a lot of innovation happening here that we don't get a lot of credit for. But I do see that there's definitely a plan. I love seeing the plan. I loved reading about it. I think that as a community, we can make a definite difference. And I would love to see in 5 years looking back and saying, look at downtown, we're proud of it. Sort of has, you know, Detroit is doing this weekend, right? With the NFL draft. I look at it and say, how proud is Detroit to bring people from everywhere to showcase what they've done? And I think that we have to be hopeful.
And that we are benefiting from that, too, doing a lot of stuff in our downtown in partnership with 100%. Detroit.
That's partnership the key. Is everything.
Partnership,
I think collaboration and partnership and hope is everything.
Yeah, agree. Speaking of which, what leads us to Councillor Agostino, and a big week for you, a huge weekend for you downtown. I know you were on the show kind of breaking down the revitalization plan as well, but your thoughts on some of the feedback you've received since it's been announced?
You know, I love the feedback that we're getting because, one, you're either getting people who are totally supportive of the plan, or two, I'm seeing a lot of online comments about anyone trying to create this kind of wedge. And I hate to break down the fourth wall, but I will.
Sure.
There's a political layer here, right? Where the plan is so good that nobody knows how to knock the plan. So they're going after the politics of it by saying, oh, look, all of a sudden there's the strong mayor's powers. Like, to see that kind of stuff, it disappoints me because this is our chance at revitalizing our downtown.
Right.
And the mayor was real clear this morning when he said, I'm not going to use strong mayor's powers to veto anything that council has to say. So it was really odd to see that. And I get it. I get it. I get the way the media works. I get the way things go. I understand. But this is our downtown. This is our chance. And we haven't seen this chance in a really, 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 really long time. There is nothing here that is not still an open book where somebody could come in and say, hey, I have a better idea, or hey, how about I do this? 3,500 people replied to the survey.
Wow.
So many people have taken focus groups. So many people have taken such a strong hand and such a big part in making this plan happen. And it's something that just either you care about downtown or you don't care about downtown. It comes down to that. That's what it's going to come down to. Because when you look at it, even from the financial perspective of saying, let's take the angle of saying, oh my goodness, we can't handle a 0.7% increase in our property taxes. This is just too much. It's going to cost you more, a lot more later on. Mm-hmm. Because when you look at a city like Detroit, which is invested in that in their downtown, and I get it, it's apples and oranges in so many cases.
Sure, yeah.
They announced this year that they're giving people back $1 million in their property taxes because it's thriving. The longer we ignore our downtown, the more it's going to cost you in the long run. So now's the time to go full steam ahead, and I guarantee you, there will be a return on your investment. You will see your property taxes go lower over the years because of the revitalization of downtown. Every other part of the city is doing great. Mm-hmm. It's our downtown that needs the help now. And if everyone out there that just may not like this person or may not like that person, just put down your swords.
Got to get over it. Yeah.
Get over it. We got to work together on this one because this is our downtown. This is our future. This is for our kids. This is for everything that we want to see out of our city. Our downtown is the heart of our city, right? And she needs help, right? There's no question about it. People have given up on downtown, right? I can't have it anymore. I need everyone to get together on this one and say, if you got a problem with the plan, my phone's on.
Now is the time to talk about it too.
Now's the time to talk about it.
Bring ideas forward.
And that's the thing. I wish that, and I think that, you know, I think everyone's going to come together, but whatever I have to do to make that happen, it's my job. You know what I mean? This is the future of our downtown, and a lot of it's going to depend on this vote.
Yeah, which is coming up. And I got to take a really quick break. We're going to come back, and I got a few texts here which are interesting and I want to talk about too. Our roundtable this morning, Councillor Agostino, Lucy from Banna, and author Vanessa Shields. Keep it here. It's the Dan McDonald Show on AM 800. Hey, good morning and welcome back. It's Dan McDonald, our roundtable in studio with us today. Lucy from Banna, author Vanessa Shields and counselor for Ward 3, Ronaldo Agostino. We were just talking about Ward 3, actually specifically the downtown area, which is in the spotlight as it should be. It needs the help right now. And we were kind of ending our last segment talking about how partnerships are vital right now. And also just to kind of not get ahead of ourselves, this does still have to go before council and get a vote. So this isn't happening yet. This is just the plan. It still has to be approved. And as Councillor Agostino said, you know, now is the time to chip in where you think, well, why don't we tweak this or why don't we do this or why did no one think of this? Now is the time for the feedback. But how someone did ask on platform, I don't know how much you can say, Ronaldo, but someone said, how do you think, what's your gut feeling of how council is going to vote on this? I don't know if you can even answer that question
or
not.
You know what, I can't answer that question, but I'll tell you, the decision at hand is really simple, right? Do you want a vibrant and revitalized downtown? That's right. It. That's the decision. Is that what you want? Do you want a vibrant and revitalized downtown?
Right.
Or do you want the issues of downtown to continue to seep out into the rest of the city?
Right.
Right? And when you look at the plan and how the plan's structured, a lot of the issues are policing issues. And I know people hate to hear that because being a police or being part of the police in 2024 just isn't as cool. Right? But it's true. When you're living in South Windsor or in Walkerville or in Riverside or in the West Side and you need a police officer, I'm going to tell you, I know where they are. Mm. I know where they are. They're one block away from my house because I see them there every day, right? We are tying up so many of our resources downtown that adding these resources to this program is going to free up everybody else that is constantly bombarded with having to deal with issues downtown. Right? Putting these more officers, putting these more nurses, putting the giving downtown more support is going to actually help the rest of the city. Mm-hmm. Because everything we're doing that right now, our focus is so much tied into the issues that are happening downtown that we literally need our own team. And that's part of what this is about, is more services, more help for the downtown, which in turn frees up more help for everybody else. So everybody who's out there that's like worried about what's going to happen to their neighborhoods or worried about this increase, believe me, you got to call your counselors and say, I need you to support this because I can't wait 30 minutes for help anymore when I make a phone call.
Right.
Right? This is not just for, and never mind the economic benefits of having a vibrant downtown and the reduction of your property, of bringing in more tax revenue because you're going to have more businesses. Never mind the fact that you're going to fill these vacant storefronts that visitors from all over the world drive by and come through and say, what is happening down here, right? Downtown's the heart of the city, and it's going to pump more blood to the rest of the city if we support it, if we invest in it. We don't have to look far to see the successes of it. Literally a stone's throw away, we see what's happened. We're not going to be able to do it on that scale. Sure. Well, we don't have to because we're not that big.
Right. Well, that's the thing. And I always wonder, too, and I hear a lot of people supporting, too, and it's important to focus on that, is focus on the positive. But I don't know where the disconnect came, where we feel so disconnected from our downtown. Like, this is our city. Like, when did we stop caring? When did is it because it became too political? Is it because a lot of it is just noise on social media and we've lost touch with what's actually happening in reality? Like, that's kind of what's happening across the board in some things. Like, we think reality is social media, and it's absolutely not, is my experience. I just don't know where that divide came in.
I think it's probably all of those things and more. Yeah. It could be just if you're going down there, how it looks could be the one thing that deters you. You go, oh, there's nowhere for me to go, which is actually not true. But, you see a bunch of vacant storefronts, that, I don't know, you begin to tell a narrative to yourself about what the place with that area is going to be like. And if you don't ever tell yourself you want to actually go down there and check it out and see if that perception, quote unquote, is real, well, I mean, that's one thing in itself.
That is,
that's literally just how something looks.
Right.
I mean,
I got to take a really quick break. We will come back with our roundtable with author Vanessa Shields, Lucy from Banna, and counselor Ronaldo Agostino. Keep it here. It's the Dan McDonald Show on AM 800.
You've got something to say?
Say it on the radio.
Dan McDonald is having a conversation and wants to hear from you. The Dan McDonald Show.
519-792-2559 on AM 800.
Well, hey, good morning and welcome back. It's Dan McDonald. Thank you so much for tuning in. And welcome back to our roundtable as well. We have author Vanessa Shields, Lucy from Banna, and also counselor for Ward 3, City of Windsor, counselor Ronaldo Agostino. And this is an interesting one. We're having a little roundtable within a roundtable off air, but big event happening downtown Windsor. A lot of great musicians coming. And there's a news story right now. The headline on CTV News reads, Essex Concert Series needs to pay its performers. And I've seen this. I'm friends with a lot of local musicians in our music scene here, and I saw this kind of blowing up before it started making news. A good friend of mine, Christopher Marentet, who is in one of the best ever Pink Floyd cover bands ever, so good, makes some great solo music too. He was very, very vocal about this, saying this is a skilled trade. It requires years of dedication and practice. It requires thousands of dollars in equipment, not unlike minor hockey, a carpenter or a mechanic. It's just different, and the arts are always kind of looked at differently, but they're so, so important. And I hope people are realizing that more and more. But the question, and I did see a little bit of pushback that got shot down very quickly from a lot of artists, but people said, well, come on, isn't experience payment in itself, especially for up-and-coming artists? And that's always what you see. Well, it doesn't pay, but it's going to be really good exposure and experience. We see that. And I don't know, I thought that way of thought was kind of going to the wayside. Clearly not. Your thoughts on this scenario, Vanessa's, and Vanessa and I do a lot of writing.
Yeah.
We've done a few things for free in our day too, I think, right?
Yeah, so I mean, this is kind of like a smaller parallel to like revitalizing the downtown. Like, if we're going to revitalize our narrative about value for artists, we have to begin by valuing them, by paying them for their time. And the whole idea of someone who is emerging being someone who is in some way less than someone who has more experience, it's moot and it's disrespectful and it's not real. Mm. Like, just because it's your first show doesn't mean you haven't spent 10 years practicing that skill.
Right.
So we have to just come to the table knowing that if we're asking artists to participate, that they will be paid. Like, just let go of the narrative that they should be asked to do anything for free. Then perhaps if an artist is doing their own show at some point, making money with the skill, then they can decide if they want to offer a lower price or want for free or whatever.
Right.
But if you are coming to the artist requesting that they're sharing their skill, always come with some sort of monetary possibility for them. Or if you you know, ask people to pay. I'm sure the people who are going to, like, even a donation or something.
A door deal of some kind.
You know,
if
it's the first time you're doing it, you got it. Maybe you want the people who are coming to do a donation and you tell the artist, look, it's the first time we're doing it. Like, everything's also negotiable, right? So if you can say, look, we're going to try this on. We're going to try first year with donation. Everyone's going to get an equal cut with whatever comes in from the people who come. I mean, that's one way to do it. We got to get, you know, risky and disruptive with the way that we're coming up with how we value and get the money for things to happen. And I'm sure, you know, that at least gives an artist an opportunity to make some money doing it. And then, I mean, it's the same. I kind of wanted to say this about downtown, too, in that it's like big change does not come without big risk and disruption. And so these ideas that we're coming up with, when we come up with them, if it's going to make things really hard for a short period of time, even though that short period of time will feel really long, it's like we have to try that stuff on. We have to figure out a way to do things differently in order to make that positive change happen. Yeah. And that can happen in this kind of micro way of, if you're asking an artist to do something, show up with some kind of monetary payment for them.
Right, yeah.
Lucy, and then it builds the value for the person as well.
Well, you brought up a good point too off camera, off mic, when you said you know, even if it is especially if it's a new and fledgling artist coming up, it's kind of teach them from the get-go that maybe the art doesn't have value to it, or monetary value. And that's a great point. Lucy, your thoughts on this story?
Yeah, 100%. And I could not agree more with Vanessa. I think that it's like asking a mechanic to go take a look at your car and expecting them to fix your car and say, you know, you do this all the time, or can you, you know, just throw this one in? Nobody would do that, right? So if you look at any skilled trade, anybody's value, and I think time is valuable and skill is valuable, right? So if I have a certain skill, why are we devaluing one skill over another?
Yeah.
And as Vanessa said, people practice and this art for many, many years, right? So this isn't their first show. They may be their first show there, but I think coming with something, and there's so many creative ways to get the revenue, whether it's through grants, whether it's through advertisement, right? There's dollars everywhere.
Absolutely,
sponsorship.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be creative. When you say let's be creative and innovative, there's money to be, you know, had. And if you want to offer it for free, then you need to creatively think of other solutions.
Yeah, agree. Yeah, think out of the box a bit. And someone who no stranger to bringing folks to town. In fact, a lot of great performers coming this Saturday night. Counselor, your thoughts on paying artists?
I'll keep it really short because I think these two wonderful souls covered everything. Pay your talent. If I'm Essex, it's real simple. Sorry, we screwed up. We're going to pay everybody.
100%.
We're not in the business of running shows. We made a mistake.
Yep.
Like,
and it's forgivable.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
you can't
totally
blame them.
No.
And for people who do this kind of stuff, or people looking to put this together, when you do your budget, make sure there's always a budget line for the show.
Absolutely.
Right? Because you got to pay people. And then for everybody else, because I'm a big proponent of this, even before I was a politician, pay cover, right?
Yep.
Buy a ticket.
Yeah.
That's where this all stems from, right? Because everyone's trying to do things on the cheap because people don't want to pay. If your friend's band is playing, show your friend the respect to show
pay
up and
them.
Not say, I want to be on the guest list. Pay the $5 cover.
Yes,
pay the $10
thank
cover.
You for saying
right?
that.
Stop asking for everything for free, because we're in this culture here, especially in our arts and entertainment scene, where people are like, oh, I support the arts. Oh, I love the entertainment. Oh, I love bands. But you got to prove that with your pocketbook.
Yeah.
And then it's like a slap in the face when you go to Detroit and go see a show and pay $100 to go see a band there, where the band that's playing a fog is better than the band you paid to go see.
Yeah, it's so true. It's like, so true.
Pay for stuff. It's worth. That's how this works, right? This this works by people making money, and then all the ships rise together.
Yeah.
But what happens here is, for the most part, organizations that aren't used to doing this kind of stuff think, well, we really, 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 really want to do a show and we can't afford it, but maybe if we cut here and we cut there. But that all stems from people not wanting to pay.
Right.
You get what you pay for. Running it back to the downtown revitalization plan.
Right? Yeah, 100%.
Right? You get out what you put in, and that's the thing, right?
I'm glad you mentioned the guest list thing especially. Hey, you want to give me some free tickets to Madonna? I'm down. I'll take the free tickets. But a local band, Planet Fog Lounge, I'm always going to pay for those tickets. And I know, Ronaldo, you have to get out of here. We do always end the segment with a plugged in, and we'll get to Lucy and Vanessa's plugged in too. But anything you'd like to plug in before you take off?
This Saturday night, downtown Windsor, it's going to be popping. We got the NFL draft skills camp happening at City Hall. Big Detroit Lion going to be there too. Some great NFL stars from our past history. Windsor Minor Football, Dan Hogan, Rob McIntyre, the mayor's office put that together. It's going to be awesome for all the kids in our community. Great way to bring your family downtown. And at nighttime, we're going to have a great concert. Royce the Five. Lazarus, who is a rapper from Detroit of Indian descent, who's also a physician, a medical doctor,
crazy,
is flying in just to do a special set for this show. We've got Hutch. I know they're going to be on with you.
Yeah, Robbie's
Nassan,
coming on.
The son of Proof. Detroit rapper is going to be like, there's so much going on downtown this weekend. Let's like do our like rain dances to get the rain out of here.
Yes.
But, you know, so many great reasons to come downtown. And again, I got to end it with, if you have any issues with this downtown revitalization plan, if you have any questions, call me. I'm thinking of having like a town hall next week, possibly to like flesh it out even more for people in the community who want to understand more. But don't be afraid to pick up the phone and call me. Like, I'm more than happy to answer anybody's questions. I know the mayor is more than happy to answer anyone's questions. We need our downtown back. We need our downtown to thrive, and we need to support the people that have been putting in their investments in downtown town, in our downtown, for years and years and years and years. They're my brothers and sisters out there. They need our help. They need this city's help. They need your help. So please support downtown Windsor.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Councillor, for joining the roundtable today. Roundtable will continue with Lucy from Banna and author Vanessa Shields. Don't go away. Well, hey, good morning and welcome back. It's Dan McDonald. Little shout out to my producer, Dustin Kaufman, and some of the music bringing back memories of my days as a little indie broadcaster on CJAM with that one. Some metric there. But welcome back to our show. Councillor Agostino, he had to leave. He had to leave early. We still have author Vanessa Shields and Lucy from Banna in studio. This is something I was listening to Mike and Lisa actually talking about this, and a lot of great callers, and it got me kind of brainstorming. It kind of started with no-name brands versus the name brands and how you pay more for that. One no-name brand that I swear by. It's a product that I use quite often, Pepto-Bismol. somebody who tends to have a nervous stomach, yeah. And I don't care. Like Pepto-Bismol, like the Pepto-Bismol brand, like $24.99 for a bottle. Wow. But if you get like the pink stuff, I think it's called Bismuth. It's like $14.99. It's like $10 cheaper. Mm-hmm. And it is the same stuff. Like, I don't know whether it tastes the same. It looks the same. It doesn't have the Pepto label, but it does the same thing. So well, the question they were talking about is, what is something you refuse to like skimp out on, like take the more affordable brand? Like, is it cuts of meat? Is it perfume? Is it clothing? Is it shoes? Is it tequila, face and hair products? For me, I always go expensive with the or cheap with the Pepto-Bismol and stuff. I do always tend to buy the good stuff when it comes to again, I'm going to reveal a bit about myself when it comes to like skincare products.
Yeah, sure.
I buy the expensive moisturizer. Yeah. Some people say, hey, the other stuff is just fine. Anything that you go cheap on or go guilty spend.
Apologies to those who are vegetarian/vegan.
Like, it's okay.
We love our bacon.
There you go.
And I mean, sometimes bacon's outrageously priced.
Yeah.
So we just, and I do the grocery, so I just discovered the like Compliment brand. I enjoy the Compliment brand, which is a brand, but it's not like the brand.
Right.
It's not like the Pepto, it's the whatever.
It's the Bismuth.
And
whatever,
it is so good, and it's always on sale. And so, I mean, I guess with food, because right now it's outrageous everywhere you go, we do a lot of like trying out. And I feel like a lot of the foods that we try, you know, we go back and forth. We try the brand and not the brand. Somewhere where we don't want to skimp is like chips and cookies.
That's a good
like,
one.
Like the fake Oreo cookie the cookie itself is like lighter and a little bit less sweet. The white cream
crumbles
inside is not the same. Like we get the double stuff. So we're
That's
like serious Oreo people. But the thing is, and I was talking to another mom, you know, in an effort to save some money, they bought like a big, huge no-name cookie thing. And the kids each had one, and then they didn't eat it because it didn't taste good. And their, you know, tongue and mouth was like, no, we want the Oreo or whatever the brand was. So she's like, what am I supposed to do with 300 off-brand cookies? Because no one eats it.
Right.
Usually you bring home a big thing and the kids devour everything.
For
but
sure.
In this case, for this particular cookie, like she's like, what am I supposed to do with all these cookies? So with food, I feel like it's trying on. And same with especially skincare on your face. Like your skin is going to tell you what brand or not brand that you need. And so you got to listen to what your body's saying and your skin.
I learned my lesson. I went out and bought a face mask one time. Like it was a more affordable type of thing. And I put it on. I'm not even kidding you. I had like, it looked like I was wearing a red face mask.
No.
Like after the face
after
mask
the
came
face
off.
Yeah,
it like
burned.
It burned my skin. I was like, ooh, this is not good. I'm going to stick to the stuff that I usually get. So that was my lesson. Cookies is a good one. Yep. How about you, Lucy?
Oh,
do you have anything that you...
I do. I have several things. So one of them is a mattress.
Hey.
I think that's just important because we sleep our life, you know, sort of away some in some regards, right? But we need a good mattress. So I think that's a good investment. You want to find something that's quality. I say shoes. I'm always...
She's in her beautiful pink high heels today. They're
they
so
are.
Fabulous.
You're rocking them today.
But I do realize if I don't buy good shoes, and I love a good deal, so I would love to find a good deal on a good pair of shoes, but they have to be a certain standard or else my feet suffer. And so then it's like, I don't wear them. Yep. So that's probably two things. And then toilet paper.
Oh, yes. Good call.
Good one. That's a good... There is a difference.
Absolutely. A big difference.
Huge difference.
Yeah. So those are probably my top three. And skincare, I would say for sure, Dan.
Yeah.
Vanessa, like, I think your face, is, you know, or your body, like, you need something that's going to work for your
Totally.
Your
skin. Same with hair. Like, everyone's hair is different.
Yeah, for sure.
You just try on what you got to try it on. And of course, get the sale if you can. That's a good way to practice trying stuff on is like buy the stuff that's on sale and see. And then, you know, try to use it. That's the other thing. Like, if like the cookies, what are you going to do with the cookies or the half a bottle of conditioner or whatever? Like, try and get through the one thing or buy like a smaller. Don't get
smaller.
The huge.
Yeah, yeah. Don't get the one, big one right off the couch.
You know what? You know, as far as cookies go, I don't, it's not no name, but it President's Choice.
Yeah,
that
was so good.
The decadent chocolate chip cookies. That is
delicious.
My only cookie that I buy. Like, that's the one.
Even
that's
ice cream. I love the PC brand ice cream.
Me
like,
too.
There's certain things that I think they do really well.
Yeah.
And
other
things they don't. But I think the trial and error is everything.
And sale. Like, look for the sales.
Yes.
Try the different brand and see.
And you know
try
what?
The compliments bacon. It's so good.
And good to know. You know what else I do? I'm an Optimum Points guy. I collect the Optimum Points.
Absolutely.
And for the fancier things that might be more money, I will hoard
use
my
points.
And it's like, then I buy the good stuff with the points, which then don't cost me anything.
You can treat yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm a points
treat
hoarder.
Yourself.
I love it.
Yeah.
And then I even brag because my mom always used to love those extreme couponer shows
where
somebody will buy like a room full of stuff. Like, this cost me $1.98. Like, I once had, I think I hoarded so many points. My grocery bill was like $375 and like amount paid $7.28.
Oh, beautiful. You need to have like glitter
like
falling.
The bells need to be going on.
Totally. My mom messaged that posted and she's like, how did you're one of those people?
Yes.
How did you do that? And I'm like, it's all about the hoarding the points.
Yep.
We always end the round table with a segment I call Plugged In. You can plug anything that you have going on. It can be something you're working on, a shout out that you want to give. Lucy, what would you like to plug in this morning?
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to the Banna team. I think they work extremely hard. We're doing so many great things. One of them is our self-assessment. We've been now live with our self-assessment. We're partnering with Body Brave, which is a phenomenal organization. But just the Banna team, I want to just plug them in for the work that they do and come to work every day with such passion. And we have a mighty team of 20 people that do the work of many, many more. So I want to plug them in. So
excellent.
Thanks, Banna.
Great work that you do and everyone at Banna. Absolutely. And Vanessa, what would you like to plug in today?
I would like to plug the Entrepreneurship Practice and Innovative Center, aka the Epicenter at the University of Windsor.
Yes.
I just had a great opportunity to do a workshop with the team there, and they're working with socially conscious businesses and entrepreneurs whose intention and goal is to give back to the city, create new charities, like, and that's built into their business plan. And that's like a whole actual style of business now and entrepreneurship. So I just want to give a shout out to that team there and all the wonderful people who are creating these fantastic local businesses and opening them up in various places in the city, potentially downtown. Some of them are in the dream stage still, with, you know, the hope of having a space at some point. So just shout out to all those people who are being risky, you know, breaking the rules, creating their own amazing spaces with the intention of doing good for the community and the planet. So
entrepreneurs,
shout out to that team and the team at the Epicenter and I hope that our shout out to the city council that they can come together and make things work
with the revitalization plan. Yeah. Well, the entrepreneur thing really ties into the revitalization plan
too.
That's a big part of it.
When I was looking for a space for Gertrude, I know we have to be really quick. I looked downtown and couldn't afford anything, but I would look again, you know?
Absolutely. Great stuff. Well, Lucy and Vanessa, thank you so much for a great roundtable.